JR and John, we're ready to go. Before we get started, we'd like to cordially invite you in the front here, and we're going to just have the worship team do a praise song as everybody's trying to gather together. And so they're going to sing called Rise Up and Sing. It's an upbeat tune, so we're hoping that you will enjoy it as we are led by the team.
'Cause our God is risen and reigning, and we're elevating the glory of our God and King. Everybody rise and sing. Let's clap our hands.
Yeah.
handshake.
Thank you.
And as we prepare our hearts for worship, let's read from Psalm 104, verse 1 and 2. It says, Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. Talking about the chorus, it says, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. And he was saying that he wanted to do a project where he had every one person from around the world would sing the chorus in their own language. And I just thought how awesome that was, that everyone in the world, they've heard about God and they know how great he is. And just to proclaim his greatness in their own language, like, how awesome is that? Can we sing the chorus one more time? Chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he says, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him."
Sustainer of all, for he holds it all.
God of the ages, I am. Pastor Ed to close us with a pastoral prayer.
Yes, Lord God, we exalt you today. We stand in awe of your presence, O Lord God. You are such a wonderful Father, a holy one, the only living God, and we adore you. We adore you, Almighty God. Father, you deserve our praises today. We thank you, Lord God, for being here with us today. We thank you, Lord God, for touching our lives, for changing our lives, for turning us around. Turning us, O Lord God, transforming us into what you want us to be. Father, we cannot do this on our own, but by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, we have overcome. Thank you so much. You deserve all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let us all be seated. Good morning, Windalas. How are you today? Praise God. Thank you for coming today. Thank you. And as we prepare for our tithes and offering, I just would like to pass this to Pastor Lucian. And indeed, God is great. Amen. God is a wonderful God. And we have seen how He works in our lives. And it's just so amazing. You know, nothing we can do for what He has done in our lives. Even what we have acquired, all these things come from God. And today we honor Him with our love offerings, with our tithes. He commanded us in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, to bring your tithes into the storehouse and to test us, to test Him in this, that He will open His doors of heaven and shower us with blessings, blessings that will not be able to. You know, that this room will just overflow, that our lives will just be overflowing with blessings. Amen. And indeed, if we look at our lives today, we can just say, you know, it is indeed a blessing that God has found me in the deepest part of the pit. When we were yet sinners, He died for us. He gave Himself for us. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, if you just think about it, God gave Himself. He was born on earth for one very purpose, and that is to die on the cross. What if you are growing up and you know that someday you will be persecuted, you know, someday that you will be what? Crucified? I'm sure if we are in Christ's shoes, we would be definitely what? Running away, right? But Christ faced His destiny. You know why? Not because He cannot run away, but because He loves you, you and you. And that is the reason why He died on the cross for us, because of that wonderful love. So the same thing with all of us. We give of our tithes and offering, not because of what we have received from Him, but because we love God and we want the good news that we have received to be spread over all the earth. Amen. So let's just pray for our tithes and offering. Father, we just thank you once again for all the blessings you have showered upon us. Indeed, Lord God, we have seen the love. We have felt the love. And we want to share it, O Lord God, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our loved ones. And that is the reason why we are here, gathered together, to learn more, Lord God, to celebrate your name. Because we know that as we come together and as we part, we go away from this place, we have also one purpose. And that is to share the gospel. That is to evangelize and to spread the good news. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity that you have given us to give to this church, because you use this church, Lord God, to spread your word, to be able to give our time in our life groups, in our small groups or cell groups, to give of our time to spend with our families, with our loved ones, with our relatives and friends and neighbors. Because we know as we spend our time with them, we minister to them. And this is for your glory. We bring you back all the honor, the praise that rightly belongs to you, O Holy One. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Testing. Okay. Well, great worship. I want to let you know. Just kind of an introduction here. My daughter, who was the one in the center, the one on the left, her name is Rebecca. We do live together. I just want you to know that. And it was phenomenal because all the songs. I'm not a crying person, so it caught me off guard, really. I told the worship team so many times before, there are times when they get up here, and when they present something, they're presenting something of their own version of worship. And I mean by that is, they come with words that are sung through songs. And as I sat there and I thought, and I've told them so many times, there's a time where it's called Amen, done, period, the end. And they sung wonderful, praiseworthy songs. Songs that are lifted God. There's a phrase, and I'm sorry, it skips my memory, but it's the part that Chris Tomlin talks about. And if you could help me out here, Rebecca, for a second, but the word was that in God, the chorus. Do you remember the chorus? Sorry, I am really flustered right now, and you know me, I'm not like this. He says here, "How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all we see, how great is our God?" But there was a piece, and I'm not sure if you were the one doing it, Lara, but the part that says, "Name above all names, worthy of all our praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God." I don't know if you heard that. Were you doing that one, Lara? I wish you would have come out a lot louder. But I heard it in that quietness as if God was calling from off to the side. But that word, name above all names, worthy of all our praise, my heart will sing, how great and is our God. And I was just telling you, my daughter and I live together. We do. We argue. So we do know we live together. And I love her so dearly. But I never even told her what we were going to, what I was going to speak about today. None. In fact, I know JC was asking me, "So, Tito Lucian, what are you going to talk about on Friday?" And I said to her, honestly, I said, "I don't know." Because I've been reading, but I just don't seem to have this connection. And so, we've been going through this journey in the book of Luke. And I want you to understand this journey is a great journey. So I was trying to translate how wonderful the book of Luke is and how we talk about God. And I want to tell you, I just want to talk about God. I do. It is all about Him. You know, we have a lot of problems, and yes, we do. We have a lot of concerns, and yes, we have. But it is all about Him. And I'm going to tell you this story, and this story is about Mary. And as I was preparing for this, sorry, to pan to the left. As I was preparing for this, God spoke to me about worship. About worship. Mary, and I'm going to talk to you about a little bit about how Mary is a great, great believer and a great worshiper and a great example of that worship. And so before we get started, I just want to read to you that passage because we're going to be referring to it a lot. But I want you to hear it from the Word of God so that you know personally that you're hearing it. If there's anything else that you can hear from it, at least hear what the Word of God says. In Book of Luke, chapter 1, and it starts with verse 46. And here's what he says. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed." Verse 49. "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generations to generations. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abram and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I want you to kind of understand, we've been going through this journey with the book, chapter 1. And I've done 4 weeks of it already. This is the fifth week. And I want you to understand a little bit why I'm investing on this. Because that miracle of an old man and an old woman made the possible, impossible, possible. And then he takes these young married couple, Mary possibly being 13 years old, in a place that nobody is a place that nobody desired, and lifted them up. And out of that byproduct, Jesus came. And the story was this, and I want you to kind of understand from Mary's perspective. Mary was in a place where, I said, I told you a couple weeks that here's a 13-year-old who had received the message from the angel, and that message was that you are with child. And he couldn't understand. She was dumbfounded with that. And the great things about this is that Mary visited who? Elizabeth and Mary. I mean, Elizabeth. Here she has questions in her mind that she must have gone through. And I don't know if you guys face the same situation where you have questions about what God is doing in your life. But here Mary was put in a situation where she didn't understand, how can this happen? And the beautiful thing about it is that same situation that must have been a question in Mary's heart, Elizabeth 6 months ago went through. The phenomenal thing that an angel came, his name was Gabriel, to Elizabeth. That same angel came to Mary. And so when I could see Mary and Elizabeth talking and says, "Hey, I'm scared. I'm really scared. I don't know what's going on." But and they just started talking. "How did this happen to you?" And then Elizabeth says to Mary, "An angel came. And his name is Gabriel." Wow, what a connection. Right away, that same Gabriel came to me and told me that I'm supposed to have a baby as well. And then Mary tells Elizabeth, this is, I got to tell you, Elizabeth, it's not with Joseph. It's supposed to be. The angel told me it's God himself coming. And has given me a child. And Elizabeth goes, I understand. Guess what? God gave me something phenomenal as well. This baby named John is in my womb. I can fully understand, Mary, what you're talking about. Boy, Mary's now really connecting with Elizabeth and says, man, somebody out there finally understands what I'm going through. And all of these things, Mary was finally solidifying that everything that was happening in this first chapter was really from God. Have you ever questioned God? Have you ever wondered, hey, God, I don't know what's going on. There's what's going on with my life here? This is not happening. This, and this. This misery is in my life. But Lord, and then he says, but God demonstrated it. And Mary, and this is the great thing about being a worshiper. Mary said these words. See, an attitude, a true worshiper, Mary being a great believer and great true worshiper, there's a couple things I just want you to kind of understand about her. One, she really read the Bible. In fact, let me just go correlate this. The very first passage, she has a real demonstration of understanding the Bible. So in verse 46, it says here, my soul glorifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. And she correlates that or references it from Psalm 34, verse 2. She goes, it says, my soul will boast in the Lord. Psalm verse 48, from now all generation will call me blessed. She references that back to a certain passage in Genesis 30, verse 13. Then Leah said, how happy I am, the woman will call me happy. Verse 49, holy is his name. She references that particular verse in Psalm 111, verse 19, verse 9. Holy and reverent is his name. Mary, a gift from God, a 13-year-old. I want you to kind of understand that. Kids, I don't know where are you young people, but I'm looking at them right now. Some of them are no longer 13. But 13 years old, she connects with God. She connects with her word. She looks and references the word of God. And she has a full understanding of the scriptures. So that when things happened in her life, she knew right away that this is coming from God. Not only that, I don't know what about you guys, but she understands her history. This is the beauty about young people. I'm going to plug something in for the young people. I mean, the children's group. I asked my daughter, because she's teaching, and I asked them specifically, do they know the stories of the parting of the Red Sea, Abraham, Moses, Noah, David, Isaiah? Do they know that story? And she said they know some of it, but they don't know all of it. This lady, she demonstrates the knowledge of the history of Israel. And what does that mean, Lucian? What that basically translates to is this, the parents. And I don't want to talk about the teachers. It's actually the parents. They gather together in the table. I could see this in the evening. They eat together, maybe breakfast, lunch. But in the night, I could see them gathering on the table, around the table. And what do? They may pull out the Bible, the five books of the Bible, and maybe read about it. And then as they read about it, the father, I could see this happening, or the mother, or the grandparents, whoever it was, they would start telling the stories. Great stories of God. And those stories, Mary heard them. And when she finally understood God, she connected the scripture and she connected all of the things that God had done for them. And today she understood it when she was with child, with God. She understood God's power. Let me step back here for a second. I believe today that most parents or most families go to church because they want to meet with God. And secondly, in hoping that they come here and that they bring their kids here for a time of gathering and understanding God's family. I mean, the Bible, stories, and everything. But I just want to step here and let you know the responsibility of teaching the children falls on the parents. The parents are the one who admonishes them to start to understand who God is. And so Mary did that. Mary must have had a great heritage, and that's why it was simple for her to become a true worshiper. There are 3 points, and I'm going to run them through quickly. The very first one, a true worshiper must have an attitude of worship. If you notice that in the very first page, Luke chapter 1, verse 46, Mary said, after he knew this, after she confirmed with Elizabeth how great God was doing and moving in her life, she was just bursting with praise and adoration for God. Look at the word she says, my soul glorifies God. In other words, I don't know if you sit in some services and have, and I've seen this. I'm not going to pick on a certain group, but I have noticed that in certain groups, the pastor or the minister up here will say something and the people will respond back. And they would go back and forth talking to one another as the purpose of it is to lift God up. Or to lift his people towards God. God does not. An attitude of worship must be first internal. It is not something where it is a lip service to God. Have you ever been in worship before God and you just sat there? And I've done this many times. I grew up in a Baptist church, and I knew by rhythm what I'm supposed to do. We would say, everybody stand up. We're going to sing a song. We sing the first 3 stanza. Then we sit down. Then we stand up again, and somebody would pray. Then somebody would go, let's stand up. Let's sing a song again. And then they would read. Okay, let's read the Bible. They would do all of this. And then all of a sudden, the pastor would come up, do the prayer. Exactly, a rhythm. They already knew their pattern. They didn't even have to think about it. Have you ever come to the point where you're doing that? You come to worship, and all you're doing is sit up. I mean, aerobics 101. We do. We, by rote, we do it. God doesn't want lip service. He wants this internal, passionate relationship. Let me tell you in Isaiah. I'm going to turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 29. You don't have to turn to there, but here's what he says. I think you've heard this before. But in Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 says, the Lord says, the people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips. And here's the kind of a rebuke. Thank you, Pastor Ed. But their hearts are far from me. I bet you today right now that's true. If we were honest, some of you guys are out there. If we were honest, like I told you, when JC asked me, are you ready? And I go, you know, I got to be honest with you. I'm not there yet. Attitude of worship is internal. It is not lip service. It is something where you're passionate. See, what happened is that it is something that's already welling up in Mary's life. Is it welling up in your life? Is this by any chance you're just coming in here to do lip service? Mouth service for God? To put your quota before Him? That is before you. The second thing is, an attitude of worship must be intense. Intense. In other words, in that same passage in Book of Luke, my Lord, or hang on, sorry, let me go back there. In Matthew chapter 1, my soul glorifies God. In other words, that's why it didn't dawn on me until they sung the song, Magnify. I'm going to have to illustrate this to you through, and I hope you can see it from my eyes. I'm hoping. I used to live in Colorado, and in Colorado, my house, and the reason I bought it, when they built it for the very first time, they didn't have anything except the foundation and the first floor. And they were trying to sell me this house. And they said, walk to this one spot. And I walked to the spot. Imagine, there's no walls yet. But they told me to look at the view. And I got to tell you, man, that view was phenomenal. And they told me that if you look at the view, the sunset will be phenomenal because it sets on the sun. And I could see Pikes Peak, one of the highest 14 mountains in Colorado, all the way to this one higher. And I don't know all the names of the mountains, but there was these mountains range. There was this one couple who had lived there for about 5 years before me. And they said to me, Lucian, you know what? You're going to get so tired of that mountain. Eventually, it will come to the point where you don't even care what it looks like. Now, their house, I got to be honest with you, was in the flat land, so they couldn't really see the mountains. But I never got tired of it. There were times, I want you to kind of imagine this. This is so phenomenal. There were times, it was in Colorado Springs, which is 60 miles away from where I live. I would see a lightning storm hit from that Colorado Spring and travel almost 100 miles all the way across. You could just see the lightning just go through. Scared me. But the awesomeness of God. See, the intensity, your internal and then your intensity, the magnitude. When you come before God, the reason why we come before Him is generally because there is something that we want to praise Him for. That's why I ask you guys two things. Do you come here coming to praise Him? Let me tell you the opposite. And I want to read this particular passage because it's also rebuking. It rebuked me. In Malachi, if you guys are Malachi chapter 1, and I want you to just to listen for time's sake. Here's what he says. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am the master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priest, who shows contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? So the priests are making these offerings. You guys are priests and you're making an offering. Today you're making this offering. But listen to what the priest, what God's response to the priest's offering. It's our praiseworthy. He says here, you have defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring, and I want you to hear this, this is what they're bringing to the Lord. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? when you sacrifice crippled or diseased animal, is that not wrong? Try, and I love that, try offering that to your governor. Take what you are offering that you're giving to God and try bringing it to your governor, meaning to somebody worthy of respect, and see how they would react. Intensity. Your worship must come before Him, praising Him. Number three, an attitude of worship is internal intensity, but it also is habitual. I want to really just talk a little bit this. In the same passage in that Luke chapter 1, verse 46, my soul glorifies the Lord. What that really entails in there is what they call a continuing praise. It doesn't stop. And let me illustrate it this way. Have you ever heard of somebody, I'm not going to church anymore because, and here's the reason why. You know, God didn't do, and then we don't go to church. Or we break off our relationship with God because there's something that we thought God should have done on our behalf. There's a guy named Paul. And here's what he says. I wonder if we could do this. In everything what? Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. That's habitual. That's worship. When you come before God, are you saying, Lord, I'm not thankful because I'm only thankful because... Is that how we react before God? And look at what he says also. Paul says that he had learned that whatever state he was, to be what? Content. See, worship is not about coming into this place. And that's where I even was talking about with my daughter, that when you come into worship, it's not about coming into this place, turning on your switch, and hoping that people will get me to worship. Actually, that's not what worship is. Can I tell you what worship is? Worship is actually a lifestyle. Worship is a lifestyle. Now, is it hard? Yeah, it is hard. Attitude of worship is hard. The last one. This one, I really found it very difficult. Because it speaks directly to me. I don't know if it speaks directly to you, but it speaks directly to me. Worship is also an attitude of being humble. Being humble. Proud people, I want you to hear this. Proud people can't worship God. Do you know why? They are too busy worshiping themselves. Proud people cannot worship God because they're too busy worshiping themselves. There are two things that hinders this type of worship. First, and I firmly believe this, ignorance. What ignorance? Basically, there are churches today that have not fully invested in trying to understand who God is. Do you guys know who God is? What God has done? Who He is in your life? Or is He just one of those things that we take out in the Bible and just pick it up and hope to complete reading it and thank you, I've done my quota or I've done my duty and then we're done. God's Word says we as a church must let you know what great things God has done. That's why I asked you guys this question. How many of you guys today stand up and give a testimony of what God's done today? Not just today. I'm talking about every day. Is there something? And I love my daughter because I put her to a test just to kind of see. I asked her, so what has God done for you? Meaning, what has He done for you? And she sat there and thought and thought and thought and thought. Probably the same way we would do. Second thing is pride. What is really a definition of pride. Here's what my definition is. Worshiping oneself. A true worshiper is a person who is selfless. I'm going to conclude with two things here. First, this is what a true worshiper looks like in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We just talked about one verse, and here's the response. This is the beautiful response of why Mary is a true worshiper. In verse 48, he says this, "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." See, a true worshiper comes before God, acknowledges internally that, "Lord, I need you." And it's that intense relationship, because you magnify the things that he has accomplished through you. And through that process, you habitually continue to say, "Lord, thank you, and you are so praiseworthy. Nothing in my life will cause me to not praise you. And Lord, because of your awesomeness, I can see how humble I should be before you. Because it is you and you alone that is praiseworthy." There's a song. I love this song. And please listen to it. I don't know if you guys, this is one of my favorite songs. We used to sing it in back when I was this tall. And every single time we stopped, we would sing a verse. We'd have somebody give their testimony. And here's the song. Maybe some of you guys have gone through this. "When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your many blessings, name them one by one." Thank you. "Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." I'm going to ask Leah to come up and play this, some of this, as we're going to prepare for the worship team. He continues on and says, "Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will keep singing as the days go by. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you his wealth untold. Count your many blessings, wealth can never buy your reward in heaven, nor your home on high. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be disheartened. God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend, help and comfort you to your journey's end. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God had done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." habitual attitude of praise and worship. When you're feeling down, like Mary, she went back to the history and pulled out all the books and looked back into the history of the great things that God had done for their people. And in that, you see the stories of Abraham when God told them, take your family and go to the promised land. And they journeyed on. And as they journeyed, Joseph, great man of God, his family sold him. And all he could say to their family is one day. Nope, he said to them, what you meant for bad, God meant it for good. And as the story unfolds, is Moses. Moses, through the river, as he was going through this river to try to protect him, God protected him and he gave him a place of honor in Pharaoh's court. And then he was outcast. And God had asked him to come before him and talk to him and says, bring back the people. They are weary and tired. They're weary and tired. And God did great things in front of them. The pillar by night, the fire and the cloud by day, and then he separated the water, the Red Sea. He fed them manna. See, these are the stories that Mary understood. And that's why she came before God praising him. What's your stories? Oh, you know what, Lucian? I did this and I did this and I did this and I did this. No, there was no God involved. It was all about you. And what did it say? Pride defeats you from worshiping, because God says you can't serve two masters. So we come here before today and I'm asking you, true worship is understanding what has God done. What is that story that I can tell to my children of God's goodness? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up here, and as we prepare for the final song, I want you to think about that. Let's stand. I want you to think about what has God done. Through Mary, God has been used. God used Mary to bring Christ into this world. And through this world, we have benefited generations upon generations, and even today. That is why we're here, to give him praise and to give him honor. As we lift up the song, let him lift up your voice. Lift up your arms. Feel free to lift up your arms and praise him. Give him adoration.
The last, the one who matters.
sustainer of all.
Magnify your name. Exalted in glory. Father, let it not just be words. Let it not be lip service, but truly coming from our own hearts because of our gratitude of what you have done. Today, I just want you to close your eyes, everyone. Story is Jesus came. He sent his son Jesus, and that son died on the cross for us. He freely did this voluntarily to provide a way for everyone in this room. And in this room, if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can know today. You see, there's sin that prevents us from getting there. That's what prevents us. But God, in His wonderful love for us, sent His precious Son to build that bridge. You can have that today. You don't have to walk away not knowing. You can know it today. And He's built that bridge. For us, we've been here. Lord, it's been here for so long. Father, we're trying to figure out what worship is, Lord. We think that coming into church is worship. But you are saying to us today that worship is studying you, getting to know you, making you a part of our lives every day, 7 days out of the week, 24/7, 365 days in a year. Father, you want that intimate relationship with us. And when things don't work out the way we want, Father, we still worship you. And when things are great, we want to magnify and worship you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for allowing us. And Father, I pray that we would invite more people to you. We don't need to invite them to this church. We need to invite them to you. But Lord, I pray that as they come to know you, that they would come to a Bible-believing church, that they can grow and encourage and build one another. I just thank you, Lord, for what you have done today. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen. Before you sit down, I'm just going to say, I thank you for the visitors. I'm going to just have you introduce Emily, the family, and I guess the family can introduce the parents-in-law. So we just want you guys to know their names. So if you, I hope you can hear him. So we'll go ahead and introduce Emily.
Gina.
Terry and Gina, and your parents-in-law?
Angie and Vic.
Angie and Vic. So make them feel welcome. Okay, thank you for coming and worshiping with us. Any announcements? Okay. We do have some for the camp, and we'll take that off to the side. But we're going to sing our final song before we leave, and then we're done.